Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flowers look beautiful already, but we are not the creatures they're trying to seduce. Bees see in the ultraviolet spectrum, and flowers have a secret display that is invisible to the naked human eye, but a delightful feast to a bee. How do we know this for sure? Well, there's a new book called The Seduction of the Honeybee by photographer Craig P. Burrows, where he has photographed flowers bathed in ultraviolet light to help us see a flower in the same way a bee does. If you'd like to look at some of the photos while you're listening to this interview, you can see them on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. And Craig joins me on the line from California. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Jesse.
What a beautiful book. Did you have a kind of a vision for what this might look like? And if so, you must be very, very pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually have the whole picture going into it. It was kind of a work in progress. And I was surprised when I was asked to work on this project. But as we went along, it started to come together in my mind. And it ended up being really beautiful. I think it does a really good job bringing together the photography to the information. The writing in it is really well done. I think the result is really fantastic, and I'm proud to have worked on it.
From your perspective as a photographer, is it just the beauty of these images that you were excited to share, or was there a bigger purpose than that?
Oh, there's definitely a bigger purpose. Throughout the majority of my photography, I would say I really want people to be interested and concerned with the environment around us, how we're harming it or supporting it, and paying attention to what bees are doing, what pollinators in general, what flowers are doing. I think that's all part of it. And I think bringing that sort of content to people in a way that's so aesthetic and so exciting is a really good way to bring excitement to the topic and get people concerned so they actually will act and make the world a better place.
I mean, we'll get to the flowers, but those bees look pretty good in your book. They are absolutely beautiful, don't they?
Yeah, they really are. Now, I can't take credit for the bees. There are some other photographers who did some fantastic work. There's Extreme Macro Bees. I don't know who exactly the credits are. There's quite a few different people here, but if there's a flower in there, it's almost 100% mine.
Well, how did you take these pictures?
So I use a 365 nanometer ultraviolet light. This is a technique I learned from another photographer quite a while back. And the process essentially is bathing the flowers with ultraviolet light. The flower absorbs it and then releases new colors of light in response to that through the process of fluorescence. And it's sort of similar to reflected UV, which is just one of many components of bee vision. There's actually many factors that go into what they see. There's the reflected ultraviolet, there's the fluorescence resulting from it, there's polarized light, there's electrostatic charge. Bees are all kinds of attracted. So what I'm doing is just one segment of it. It's the fluorescent light, which plays a little secret hidden role in attracting bees to the flowers.
Is it difficult to get these photos taken exactly how they need to be taken to demonstrate these qualities?
Yeah, it definitely has some trickiness. So one of the obvious challenges is working in darkness. So these are all on black backgrounds. I'm working in the darkest room possible. Right. So switching back and forth between lit with white light and working in complete darkness, trying to hold my breath so the flowers can't move because they're all long exposures, and custom ultraviolet light sources that come out really pure so there's no contamination. So it's been a long road to learn how to do it well, but I really like the results I'm getting these days.
And what does this photography reveal about the flowers?
So there's a lot of different stuff that comes to light, no pun intended, with the colors that are produced here. In some cases, we see the patterns that attract bees, which would be normally called nectar guides, they're reflected in the fluorescence as well. So a pigment that would not reflect ultraviolet will respond differently than one that does. And the bees use a combination of these things. So in my photos, We see some of those patterns emerging where, like, especially on sunflowers or things like that, we see a dark center. That's the bullseye that the bees would see in reflected light. But we're also seeing fluorescence on the reproductive anatomy, the nectar, which is usually a blue color. And that is, through some studies I've read, one of the main attractants for bees. They see that blue light, especially pure blue light, and they'll fly straight toward it.
It looks like, was it pollen or nectar that we can see there that kind of almost shows up as dust on these ultraviolet photos?
Oh yeah, if it's pollen and it looks like dust, yeah, that's most likely going to be pollen. And then they have protective pigments that protect the little tiny grain inside from ultraviolet light. But also, and I don't know that there's any studies backing it up, but I do think that since the pollen is a thing that the bees want, I think there may be some component of the fluorescence, since it is so bright, that draws the bees to that part of the flower as well.
Is there a relationship between the fluorescence of the flower and the amount those flowers rely on repollination?
That is actually a really good question, and I think that there is research being done on it. I've tried to find answers to all kinds of questions like this, but the idea of floral fluorescence interacting with pollinators is a relatively new concept. Extrapolating from some studies that have been done pretty conclusively that carnivorous plants use fluorescence to attract their prey, I definitely think that there is a lot of room to research and explore in the idea of fluorescence playing a role in attracting pollinators, in addition to all of the other factors that we know are important.
They are so beautiful. I encourage our listeners to take a look at rnz.co.nz/Jesse. And I understand that you were responsible for the propagation of a lot of these flowers, Craig.
Yeah, that's right. So I wasn't originally a botanist or even necessarily a gardening enthusiast, but because the flowers were such an engaging subject, I ended up wanting to grow them. And especially I was interested in growing species, so native to my area. So I started in California, but then otherwise branching out to species that are native throughout the world. So I'm talking things that aren't hybrids, not garden cultivars, like pure species, orchids, pure California natives, and then more recently, as part of the project, working on some of the New Zealand flora as well, which was a really cool experience.
Oh, great. Is there a New Zealand connection to it?
Oh, there absolutely is. Yeah. So originally, I was contacted by the publisher Blackwell and Ruth to see if I'd be interested in coming out to New Zealand to shoot some of the native flora, shoot the te wā around where the bees grow the manuka or cultivate the manuka honey. And it was just an opportunity I couldn't say no to because I haven't had an opportunity to do world traveling until this, but it was a really cool experience. And I thought New Zealand was just fantastic, and I hope to go back.
Do you have a favorite photo among all of them?
Ooh, are we talking among all the photos I've ever taken or the ones that I
No,
took
just
in
in
New
this book,
Zealand?
The Seduction of the Honeybee, that cover photo is pretty
Yeah, you
arresting.
know what? Since I often look through my photos with new eyes, it's hard to pick. But when I go back to it's a Columbine aquilegia on the cover. That one, ever since the very moment I took that photo, I was like, this one is very special. And so I think offhand, that would probably be my top choice in this book.
I have to ask, Craig, it's the conversation of the moment. How are you feeling about AI-generated photographs, given what you can create when you ask a computer to come up with something? Presumably, if you came up with the right brief, you could get something approaching what you've done for real with a lot less effort. Is it an anxious time for photographers, or are you excited about what it might offer you as an extra tool?
I definitely have more anxiety about it. I recognize the utility of it, and the promise of AI was that it was going to replace the boring labor, the stuff that humans don't particularly enjoy doing. And I feel like what we're finding is that it's starting to replace creative work. So we have illustrators and like animators and artists, photographers whose work is just being parroted over and over. And I wonder sometimes if my work has ended up in the data sets, though I haven't seen anything to suggest it. But overall, it feels like it might be taking the joy out of the creative enterprise and sometimes what it means to be human. So yeah, I don't particularly look forward to it in its current state. And overall, I don't think the results will ever quite match to the results of doing it deliberately, like as a human person. And then with respect to my photography in particular, it's something very specific and unique and honest. And once you have an AI that's sort of hallucinating it based on what's come before, you don't necessarily know that the output is representing anything real.
Great answer on the fly. Thank you, sir, and well done on this book.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Craig P. Burrows, the photographer behind the book, This is the Seduction of the Honeybee.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.